This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio's population is changing and shifting. As a result, San Antonio City Council District are going to get a makeover by next summer. The most recent data shows that San Antonio's population grew by 8% over the last decade. And we grow in different parts and different parts of the city at a different rate. So just like the Texas House districts and the congressional districts, the City Council districts do have to adjust. But what will that look like? And how will that impact San Antonio's politics? If you've got a question or a comment, we invite you to call in. The number is 833-TPR-TALK. You can also tweet us, text us at that number, 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. You could also tweet at us at TPRSource or email us at thesource@tpr.org. And so we're welcoming, we're with us this afternoon. We're joined by Andy Segovia, the San Antonio City Attorney. And City Attorney Segovia, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Ileana Castillo Daly, the Assistant City Attorney. And Ileana, welcome to The Source.
Hi, David. Thank you.
So City Attorney Segovia, let me ask you about this process. How will this work?
Well, the process one, David, is going to be very community engagement oriented. It's very much, though, a legal process, but at the same time, we recognize that people are very tied to their communities, their neighborhoods. Many of them used to be living in the same district for all their lives. So we know it's a very emotional experience for a lot of people. But we'll have community engagement in all the areas of the city. We will have experts that will look at different ways we can redraw the district map so that we do have one person, one vote. The good news is all the districts don't have to have the exact same population, but as long as we stay within a 10% deviation between the least populous district and the most populous district, then we can account for neighborhoods, natural boundaries, et cetera.
Ileana Castillo Daly, could you tell us more about this concept of one person, one vote? Why is that so important?
Yeah, so that's based on the Constitution, right? So as you said in the beginning, that this is something that the citizens should be familiar with, given all the news and rhetoric around state redistricting, federal congressional level redistricting. So the concept being, you know, we don't have, that's why that 10% deviation is so important, that we don't have, you know, an extraordinary number in one district and that their voices, you know, get diluted, for lack of a better word, versus a much smaller district who have more accessibility to their council member and then a louder voice.
But, right. Yeah, so if you have a district like we have now, like District 5, that's the district that has the smallest amount of population. Essentially, if you vote in a city council race in District 5, your vote has more weight than if you voted in, say, District 8, which is one of the more populated districts, Andy Segovia, right?
That's a good way to describe the one person, one vote. We don't want people in one district to have more, their vote have significantly more weight than somebody who's voting in a different district.
Right. So that's something that we have, that's why we do this process to rectify this. But so people are thinking about, San Antonio has these almost like personalities that have become attached to each district. You kind of know what District 7, the vibes, that's what that is, the vibe for District 10, the vibe for District 1. Am I wrong there, Andy Segovia?
Absolutely right, David. And that's part of the reason that we don't simply use a mathematical formula to come up with the districts. And to use your word, we want to keep the vibe of each district. That's important to them. I mean, it's very much a part of their identity and how they grew up in San Antonio. And so we want to keep the vibe, but we can do that and still adhere to the legal requirements.
But Ileana Castillo Daly, there's also a concern, though, about the Voting Rights Act, particularly when it comes to preserving communities of color and not diluting their voting strength. So how is that going to be put into place?
Yeah, so we have like the culture and the vibe of these communities, the physical boundaries and you know, the other requirements like being based on existing districts and their lines, compact and contiguous. But you're right. So Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act is still in, applicable for redistricting purposes. And so we don't we want to consider, I'll use District 2 as an example, right? Historically black district, right? Single member since the 70s, right? So we want to retain their voice at the table, right? That being the city council. So we're able to take that to consideration to the extent that continue abiding by the Voting Rights Act.
But San Antonio has grown so much since we went to single-member districts in the 1970s. And so the city council members, we had 10 districts back then, and now these districts have gotten bigger, more populated, and people are wondering, maybe it's time that we increase the number of council members that we have. So Andy Segovia, what would that entail?
Right now, the city charter, David, calls for 10 districts in the city of San Antonio. Our expectation would be that would be a topic that we would discuss as we go through this process of redrawing the 10. My expectation is that there'll be a city charter commission put together to look at changes to the city charter, and I'm sure one of them will be putting before the voters whether they want to increase from 10 to 11 to 12 districts. Again, that would be based on the population.
So the way this times out, though, we have to have this round of redistricting done by, is it May of 2023?
That's correct, David. And actually, the timeline that we have to complete the process is by next summer. And the reason we do that is we definitely want the people that are running for city council to know what district is going to, what the boundary of their district's going to be. So therefore, we want to make sure that this process is completed well before that election season. And the charter, though, won't be able to be changed for some time after that.
So the soonest that we could have a city council election with an expanded city council would be in 2025 then?
Correct.
So nothing, so probably that would be like mid-decade. And almost time to do another redistricting.
Yes, but again, it would be one a discussion that, as we look at all any changes to the city charter, I'm sure that would be one of them. But yes, the timing is such that the more immediate or the more urgent activity is to redraw the 10 districts.
So this citizen advisory element that we have here, each council member is able to appoint 2 people per district. So we have, a 23-member committee. They're going to be taking the lead on redrawing these 10 council districts, looking at the numbers that we have from the 2020 census. They sit around a table, they all have pieces of paper, and they draw maps. How does that work, Ileana Castillo-Daly?
Yeah, so as was mentioned at the briefing session that we provided to council and the public, we've hired 2 firms to support us in this, one of which has those map drawers, right? So yes, they could have pieces of paper and pencil, but they don't need to have that expertise in map drawing because we've taken care of that, right? So it'll be, some looking at the current maps, having discussion, more so than drawing and mapping, and letting, giving that feedback for...
All right, and Andy Segovia, how about community input? How will that work?
Community input will be through the committees, David. We expect that it'll first start with educating the community on the process and what the legal principles are and what we consider. For example, keeping neighborhoods intact, keeping natural boundaries intact. And then it'll be a discussion and looking at some of the various options in terms of redrawing the district so that we can have one person, one vote. There's more than one option. Obviously, there will be a variety of options, but getting community input on those options so that at the end of the day, we come up with a solution that at least most people, we hope, will be comfortable with.
How important will it be where the current city council member lives? Their domicile. How important is that in drawing these maps?
Well, obviously, that'll be a factor. We don't want to draw somebody out of a district in which they have been representing their district. It'll be one of the considerations. Also, we'll have to consider what other people may be thinking of running in that district. It's not a predominant one, but certainly a factor to be considered.
Ileana Castillo-Daly, do you think we're going to be coming up with just playing around with the margins, or are we going to come up with a radically different looking map?
Well, we have two landlocked districts, right? And so, you know, if you've seen the numbers and you see the growth, or and anyone, even if you haven't seen the maps, we understand conceptually, right, that we're growing on the periphery. And these landlocked districts, that being District 1 and District 5, they don't have that space to grow. So, and they touch most, if not all, our districts. So they're not going to be radically different.
Those districts would probably gain more territory.
Correct.
And probably take some from the district, like District 8, which has one of the fastest growing districts.
Yes. Yes, they'll have to. I mean, knowing the numbers, that's stuff like that has to happen.
And so people are kind of wondering if that's going to change the dynamic or the vibe, as we talked about, for these districts, like District 5, as it gains more population from District 8. We'll be talking more about that when we come back from the break. And we're going to be continuing our conversation about San Antonio City Council redistricting. We're going to be joined by council member from District 6, Melissa Cabello-Havada. Right now, we got to say goodbye to San Antonio City Attorney Andy Segovia and Assistant City Attorney Ileana Castillo-Daly. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. They will be drawing new maps for the city of San Antonio. The city itself will be the same shape, but the stuff inside City Council District will be redefined. This is all based on the census data that we got, and San Antonio grew quite a bit, and the population did shift around. So how do we even things out so that each City Council member has the same amount of constituents behind them as they represent them on the dais? If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you because this is a public process. And you can tweet at us at TPRSource. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org. And you can also send us a text message at 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're now joined by District 6 City Council member Melissa Cabello-Havada. And welcome back to The Source, Melissa.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
So what are your expectations with what's going moving forward with the redistricting?
Well, it's a pleasure to be here to talk with you today about redistricting. This is maybe one of the single most important things that we do in our time at City Council. The goal of the redistricting process should be taken simply at face value. We're supposed to divide our city population into 10 equal parts and draw boundaries on a city map that reflect those equal parts. Of course, there's a level of nuance that goes into the process. We're not just talking about lines on a map, boundaries on a piece of paper. There are soft factors that define a community. And it's really how I'm focused on looking at this this big task ahead of us. Communities are bound by common places, our schools, places of worship, parks, neighborhood businesses that we support. The data and the numbers and the boundaries are all, of course, very important, but we have to consider these soft factors. This year, the City Council approved the formation of a redistricting committee. Originally, there was supposed to be one appointee per district, but I made the argument that we needed more than one person representing each council district. I'm sure you would agree. Our city is diverse by all definitions of that word. And by appointing at least a couple of representatives, we had the opportunity to take advantage of that diversity and those points of view when we're redistricting. I take a representative government very seriously. I don't get to vote how I want to. I don't get to make the request that just I want to make. I have to listen to my community. And my community shapes these ideas and these requests and these votes. And it's very important, of course, that we're always communicating and that I'm representing them to the best of my ability. But in doing that, I have to be out in the communities. I have to talk with them. So it's important that we have these two representatives that are also doing the same thing. You know, they're talking with communities about where these soft factors are. Where are these neighborhood lines? Where are the businesses and the places of worships and the parks that you support? So that's really important to me. And I'm hoping that the representatives that we choose for each of our districts will take that into account as well.
It's an interesting observation about these soft factors and how important they are to a city council district, particularly when you like a high school and you think about a high school, how that has a big impact on that area, or a Catholic parish, or even local landmarks, whether it be a park, other things like, you know, like downtown San Antonio. We know that's generally District 1, and if that would change hands for some reason or another. And so what are the big landmarks that you're interested in preserving for District 6?
Well, you know, we have one of the biggest ones here in District 6 is Northwest Vista College, right? We also have SeaWorld here. That's a big part of our identity. And that's really what I'm getting at is every district, like our city as a whole, has its own identity, its own culture. And so we'd talk about landmarks, the Westside Educational Training Center, the food bank. I have ACS in my district. And all of those are really serve our entire city, but they're part of our identity as District Sixers. They're part of our culture. And the most important thing to me really is our neighborhoods. You know, I have a lot of people don't know that in District 6, we do have, you know, a little bit of Alamo Ranch. We have Westover Hills, but I also have a good part of Edgewood. And it's really important to me to make sure that those neighborhoods are staying together. And so when I'm looking at projects in the Edgewood area or the Westover Hills area, wherever it is, I'm able to take into account the entire neighborhood, not just portions of it, because there's no boundaries in real life. We all know we don't cross the line when we walk from one neighborhood into another. But there are very definite cultural balances, and that's really what I'm looking to preserve.
Right, but when you mention the fact that you have some Alamo Ranch in your district, District 6, and then there is also Edgewood, and that's a pretty big spectrum to cover, do you think that that's an argument for having more city council districts? Would you support something like that?
Eventually I would. That's not something we can do in this redistricting process, but our city as you know, it's grown so much in the past 10 years. And I know that there's been an argument and talk even of adding two more council districts. I'm not opposed to that. I mean, if that's what serves the city well and in the best way, then I'm not opposed to it at all. It's beyond my own office. You know, I can't be here forever, you know, so we have to make sure that, and I'm born and raised here in this district. So I want to make sure that the people that helped me, you know, in my life and the communities that raised me, that they're being held intact. And far, far after I'm gone, we may be better served by a couple more council members, council districts, in making sure that those resources are allocated well, that there is true representation of those boundaried areas of the district. So I'm not opposed to it. I understand it's not something that we can look at in this process right now, but I would be open to it.
Right now on the San Antonio City Council, there is sort of a coalition that we know of, city council districts that sort of make up a very progressive agenda of trying to provide more services, trying to deal with the legacy of issues that we've had here in San Antonio, particularly in some of our neighborhoods and communities that have been underserved. Do you think that if this redistricting is not done right, that coalition could be broken up, there could be a shift in the overall political agenda that we have on council?
I think it's possible, but I don't think so. I think that the organizations and the coalitions that have developed, especially in the last few years, they're stronger than council district boundaries. I think that no matter where they are based, they're going to have a say in each of their council districts, and they're going to have the same pull and the same sway that they've had before. But more than that, I think that they are actually in a lot of ways stronger than the council districts that, or council members that represent them, because they transcend that government entity. So I don't think that they would be any less strong. I think that they're as powerful as they continue to want to be, you know, as long as they're organizing and staying true to their mission.
We have a portion of the population really don't pay attention to city politics. I don't blame them, but that's, and they don't even know what district they're in. They may wonder, what does this matter to them? But what district you live in, does that impact, you know, maybe the services that are available to you? We know that each city council district, you know, you guys fight for like the dog control, animal control, and all these other items that we want to bring to a district. Is that part of this discussion?
It is. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, I do believe in representative government. So when the community comes to me, I put out a survey. So what do you want to see on our city budget? And anything that I asked for, whether it was equipment for our fire department, it was in budgets passed, I asked for an ACS officer just for District 6. Those things came from the community. So I don't think that, I mean, in theory, you know, we should be all doing that. And I do believe that my council colleagues do that as well. So I don't think that it takes away from that process at all. If the budget asks that I request, if they're coming from the community, whether the lines are over here or over there, they're going to come from whoever is within those boundaries. I do listen, of course. I mean, I'm a member of our city as well. I mean, I'm a native San Antonian, and I it's very important to me that I'm listening to my city. But I always have to prioritize the people that are living in my district, because I represent them. And on the city level, I'm the only representative that they have. Well, no matter where those boundaries are, that's where it's coming from, is you know, my representation.
So I have a comment from a listener, Tom. He lives in District 4. He thinks his neighborhood would be better off if it was better suited to District 6. Do you think you'll be hearing from people like Tom saying, please move me into District 6?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I would love to represent Tom and anybody I can help. I mean, I just want to be of service to my community. But, you know, there's probably some that say they're better served in different districts as well. And that is all really important. And we have to take into account, I keep going back to it, but these really soft factors. Maybe Tom's in a neighborhood that is split right now between District 4 and District 6. We have a lot of those. And I'm very grateful to say that his council member, Dr. Adriana Rocha Garcia, we work very well together, and we pool money and resources together to be able to help, for example, Marbach Road, because it's we're both on that boundary. So, I mean, I'm sure we're going to hear in that, and that's very important. It's most important, I think, that we're hearing from individuals and what they want to see in their communities. But, you know, I'm sure it goes both ways, too.
Right. I'm just about out of time here. I got a text from Dan. He says there's neighborhoods that have historically been sliced up into multiple districts. Could they be put into a single district through this process? Should those people reach out and be part of this and go to these hearings?
Yes, absolutely. I invite everyone to come to these hearings and talk to us as much as we can. Those are the exact, that's the exact kind of feedback I want to have and hear when I'm making decisions.
All right. We have been joined by District 6 City Council Representative Melissa Cabello-Habita talking about redistricting for San Antonio City Council and what that looks like moving forward. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about quarries that we have in San Antonio, in the Hill Country, and out beyond, and who regulates these quarries, what are some of the problems that people who live near them have to endure, what can they do for solutions. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.